Again, certainly it is a blessing to be in the house of God on this morning. I don't know about you, but I know that the God that we serve is a good God. He's a God that does all things well. Not some things well. He does all things well. Sometimes it's nice to just look back and to see how his hand has carried us from one place to the next. I have this testimony this morning that God is good. And he's not good just some of the time. God is good every single day. Every single morning, God is good. Amen. Amen. And I am excited about the God that I serve. I'm excited about God's people. I'm excited about Jesus Christ, who did it all, that we might have fellowship with the God of heaven. I appreciate the invitation to come and to speak to this audience. I appreciate the introduction by my brother, and I just have so many wonderful, wonderful memories. When John first met my sister, she had other boyfriends that I liked. But when she met John, she found the right one. We worked together, Cakes Elegance. We would deliver cakes together. Amen. Amen. And it's just a privilege to hear such kind words from him. And I know that he means what he says. And I mean what I say. I love John, and I love, obviously, his family. But I'm just thankful to be here. Amen. Amen. And I'm trying to see. I definitely need to thank my father and the elders and those who have made this opportunity possible for me to come and to speak. One more thing. Let me introduce my beautiful family. I want you to see the reason I'm able to do so many things that I'm able to do is because my wife, Toni Francine Gibbs, and I'm going to ask her to stand. You can stand. I did all right. Amen. 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 I didn't do all right. I did pretty good. Amen. And then my children, I have them stand together. Hamilton, and then Shelton, and then my baby girl, Lyndon. Amen. Amen. If you have your Bibles, I'm going to come down and I'm going to talk to y'all. Is that all right? If you have your Bibles, be turning with me to Romans, the 8th chapter, and we'll be looking at verse 14. Romans chapter 8 and verse 14. And I'd like to take for a subject this morning, moving with the will of God. I'm going to say it again. Moving with the will of God. Sometimes we want to be here, but sometimes God has us somewhere else. Amen, Walls and Lights. Y'all can talk back to me. What are you saying, Brother Gibbs? I'm saying, and I call myself Brother Gibbs at Lawrence and Martyr, so I know a lot of you all know me as Shelton, but what are you saying? I'm saying that this message is not for everybody. I'm not talking to everybody. I'm talking to those who want to and those who are in the will of Almighty God. I'm telling you that God can move you. But he moves you according to his will. Amen, walls and lights. See, sometimes we want it to be about us. From the sixth grade, I knew where I wanted to go. Amen. I knew what I wanted to do. Amen. But God, if we're going to move with his will, God moves us not according to our will. He moves us according to his will. And he moves us according to his purpose. Amen, walls and lights. I get excited about God because I have seen him move. The Bible says, and I might not finish this lesson. It might not even make sense to you, amen, but that's all right. I'm going to preach from the heart. Watch what Paul says. Paul says, for as many as are what? For as many as are what? Say it with me now. As are led. See, there's some people who just move through life. And then there's some people who are what? Who are led by the Spirit of Almighty God. Amen. And I'm telling you, it's something to be led. Watch what Paul says. He says that they are the what? They are the sons of God. Not everybody is the sons of God. It is those who are willing to be what? Say it with me. Led, amen, walls and lights. We've been at Lawrence and Martyr talking about godliness. Godliness means to be awestruck. When you see what God is able to do, it ought to humble you. It ought to bring you to your knees because God is able to move things around on his time schedule, according to his will. We talked about godliness understanding that God is to be taken seriously. Then we looked at godliness from the standpoint of chasing after God or walking with God. And then last Sunday, I preached this lesson, moving with the will of God. I want to talk to you from three vantage points. I want to show you that moving with God means to move not according to our schedule. It means to move at God's speed. And then number two, I want to look at it from the standpoint of if you're going to move with God, God will lead you in places where you have to depend on him. We like to be comfortable. I like to be comfortable, amen. But I'm telling you, God calls us to be uncomfortable sometimes. He calls us to have to rely on his strength. So point number two is going to be that to move with the will of God is not to move by our strength. God gets the glory, amen. We don't get the glory. God gets the glory. When we move into a situation and God shows up and he shows out, we don't get the glory. God gets the glory. I'm telling you, if you want to be a CEO, I need to preach my lesson. Amen. All right. And then my last point, God is the object. Let me say something. The destination, I'm going to be talking about the children of Israel. The destination was not the promised land. Amen. The destination was God. God moves us. They wandered around for a long time, and it wasn't to get to the promised land. It was to understand who God is. To depend on God, to trust God, to love God with all of your heart, with all of your mind, with all of who you are. Point number one, not by our schedule. Moving with God is not by our schedule. We read in Exodus about the children of God being in bondage for years. They're in Egypt. They are broken. They are mistreated. They are brick makers all day and all night. Amen. They wake up to make bricks. All day, they're what? They're making bricks. God hears their cry. They cry out to God, and God, he hears. He hears them. They needed a way of escape. And God raises up a man by the name of Moses. Now watch this. He raises up Moses, not just based on their, because they've been in slavery for a long time, but at the appointed time. Amen. Can you say appointed? Can you say God's time? See, God does not move on our time, but when God got ready to move, when he got ready to move, he raised up Moses. And miracle after miracle after miracle after, come on now, after miracle, what did he do? He marched them out of Egypt. When you get to Leviticus, or when you get to Leviticus, and really even when you get to Exodus, I mean, really Exodus and Leviticus cover the same territory. But when you look at what God did, God marches them out. He gives them the law of God. Moses is going up and down Mount Sinai, and they build the tabernacle. And you got to imagine that this tabernacle is not a small feat. You got 600,000 men, 2 million or so people, and they are in the wilderness, and God has instructed them as what his laws are. God has instructed them to build this tabernacle, this tent that they will carry with them wherever they go. And the tabernacle will be in the center. Everything that they do, God's presence is going to be where? It's going to be right in the middle. All of their sacrifices, all of their ceremonial obligations, everything happens in this place. When we get to Numbers, Moses takes a census of all of the people, and it's time to move. Look at Numbers chapter 9, and I want you to see this. Numbers chapter 9 and verse number 15, because I want to show you how God moved them. I was studying this a few weeks ago. I've been reading Numbers. And it just, you know, we've read this, but where I am in life, it just stuck out to me because it showed me something about God. And we're just going to read it, but I want you to see, as you think about your own life, I want to show you how God moves his people. What does the Bible say? Verse 15. And on the day that the tabernacle was reared up,
the cloud covered the tabernacle.
The cloud covered it. Read. Read.
And at the even there was upon the tabernacle, as it were, the appearance of fire until the morning.
So when God gets ready to move, there is a cloud that is above this tabernacle. Can y'all see it? All of these people, they have constructed this tabernacle, and now when God gets ready to move, he puts a cloud that appears as a cloud during the day and as what? And as fire
During the what? During the night. Verse number 16. Watch what the Bible says.
So it was always.
Uh-huh.
The cloud covered it by day and the appearance of fire by night.
Verse number 17.
When the cloud was taken up from the tabernacle.
Uh-huh.
Then after that, the children of Israel journeyed.
Mm-hmm.
And in the place where the cloud abode, there the children of Israel pitched their tents.
Now watch this. Hold on, hold on, hold on, hold on. So y'all see that? When the cloud lifts, what happens? Do what? All right, this side got it. When the cloud lifts, what happens? When the cloud lifts, what happens? Amen. When the cloud lifts, what happens? They move. Y'all see that? Now watch this. When the cloud rest.
All right.
What do they do? Okay, good. Verse number 18.
At the commandment of the Lord, the children of Israel journeyed.
Uh-huh.
And at the commandment of the Lord, they pitched.
Uh-huh.
As long as the cloud abode upon the tabernacle, they rested in tents.
Y'all see that? Y'all see that? As long as the cloud rested, what happened? They stayed. Verse number 19.
And when the cloud tarried long upon the tabernacle many days,
uh-huh.
Then the children of Israel kept the charge of the Lord and journeyed not.
All right, verse number 20. Why does he keep going on and on and on? He's already told us when the cloud lifts, they go. Amen. And then when the cloud settles, they stay. Why does he keep emphasizing that if it tarried long, they stayed long?
Yeah.
If it was one day, they stayed one day. Now, you got to imagine if you've ever been camping and you got all of these people, and if it's 2 days, you telling me that I got to pack up everything and I've got to move. I got to take the outer tent. I've got to take the holy place. I got to take the holies of holies and the candlestick, the laver, come on now. I mean, this is a big tent. And see, Moses had instructed these people. The tribes were organized. They weren't just moving. Every tribe had a what? A place. You couldn't just move. Okay, come on, Johnny. No, 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 no. You had to move how? According to God's will. Now watch this. What does the Bible say? Verse 21.
And so it was.
Uh-huh.
When the cloud abode from even unto morning, and that the clouds were taken up in the morning, then they journeyed, whether it was by day or by night.
If you sleep, in other words, somebody had to be a lookout. Somebody had to be watching that what? That cloud. Because if it's 2 a.m. and the cloud moves, guess what you're doing?
Read, what does the Bible say?
The cloud was taken up, they journeyed.
Why is he still talking about this cloud? Read. I'm going to leave that point, but you understand. You understand what I'm saying, right? That we want to move, but sometimes it's not according to God's will. And he is making the point so clear that it does not matter if it was 2 days, if it was a month, or if it was a year, whenever the cloud moved or whenever it rested, they moved and they what? And they rested. See, we like to strategize, amen? We like to align ourselves, amen? We like to figure out where I want to be and how do I get there. But I'm telling you, if you are moving by the will of God, it's not based on your speed and your schedule. It's based on God's speed and his schedule. If you are a child of God, It's not about us. God opens doors. And guess what? And guess what? God closes doors. Amen. Oh, I look at my life. I have not applied for a job that I have been in. I didn't apply to SMU. I was going to Pepperdine 2 weeks before school. Oh, I don't have time for this. When I got ready to find a job, I applied in Kentucky. I applied all over the place. Got a phone call from the DA in Kaufman. I did not apply. Amen. Interviewed, he hired me the same day. I've been there 13 years. People say, why are you still at the DA's office? Why are you still there? Because the cloud ain't moved. I didn't apply to Lawrence and Martyr. People say, why are you still there? Cloud ain't moved. Amen. See, we try to focus on the where. Oh, I'm going to talk about that in just 1 minute. Amen. Not by our strength. The children of Israel spent 40 years in the desert, wandering, based on when the cloud moved and when it what? And when it rested, amen. And what I find is that they were constantly complaining. You look at Exodus 15, they moved from the Red Sea to the wilderness of Shur. 3 days they didn't have water. And they murmured, did you bring us out here to die? Now watch this. When they get to Marah, they find water. Amen. But guess what? The water is bitter. You've been trying to find a job for 6 months. You have a good interview and you say, I got this one. I know the boss. But the water is what? The water is bitter. Amen. I mean, you find water, but you can't drink it. Why would God lead you? God knows you are thirsty. He leads you to water, but when you get there, you can't drink it. I don't know if you hear what I'm saying. God will lead you, but when you get there, when you get there, you still got to depend on him. God shows Moses a tree. He said, throw it in the water. The water that was bitter, guess what? They drink it. The next chapter, Exodus 16. They go through Elam. Now I want you to keep in mind this word, Elam. Elam, 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 Elam. And they leave Elam and go to the wilderness of Sin. And there's no food. No food. And God rains down manna from heaven. But he put stipulations on it. He said, don't eat it. Don't keep enough for 2 days. Unless it's the sixth day. Amen. You just got to watch how God works. Exodus 17, they leave the wilderness of Sin and go to Rephidim. And they camp there, and there's no water. And God tells Moses to stand on top of a rock. And he says, hit the rock. And guess what? These people who were dry and thirsty, they drink water. You get over to Numbers 11, they're in the wilderness of Paran. And they remembered all of the food, the seafood. And all of the vegetables that they would eat. And God rained down quail that they would have enough for a month. It's a cycle. No water, no bread, no meat. When you look at Numbers 33, you see that they
where they went, where they moved. Look at Numbers 33 and verse number 9. They leave Marah and they come to Elim. Watch what the Bible says about Elim. Read.
And they removed from Marah and came to Elim.
Uh-huh.
And in Elim were 12 fountains of water and 70 palm trees. And they pitched there.
Now, what's your question? You should have the same question as me. Why are we leaving Elim? I mean, Elim is like Hawaii. You got palm trees, you got springs of water. But the Bible says that the cloud moved them where? God could have done everything that he did from where? From Elim.
Right.
Amen. He didn't have to go to Mount Sinai. He could have come down and spoke to them where? From Elim. Now, what is the point? It's God's prerogative. It's God's prerogative to move us to a place where we need him. Watch this. If God did not rain down food, they would have starved. If God did not give them water from a rock, they would have died of what? Of thirst. What are you saying, Brother Gibbs? I'm saying that it is a scary place to be when you don't need God anymore. When we are so comfortable, when we are on autopilot that we can operate from our own strength. When I'm big enough, amen. That's a scary place to be. God does not, God moves us. When you are in the will of God, God will sometimes move you into a place where you cannot make it work. We got on pink. I don't. Amen. I didn't know. That's a place where you learn to depend on God. Paul says, my grace, this is what God said, my grace is sufficient. For my strength is made perfect in what? In weakness. Therefore, I rather glory in my what? In my infirmities, that the power of Christ may rest upon me. My last point, and I'm going to try to make this point as quickly as I can, because I know my time is almost up. So we got moving in the will of God, number one, is not by our schedule. Amen? Point number two, we got that moving in the will of God is not based on our strength. Sometimes God is going to move you in places where you don't want to be. But what is the point? Here's the point. God is not just leading them. God is their destination. He uses the journey to develop faith in him. See, they wanted the promised land. I'm gonna let that settle. We want the promised land. We are ambitious people, and we want the what? We want the promised land. We want to be valued, amen. We want to be honored. We want to be the top dog, amen. And watch this. God put that before them. God said, I'm going to give you a land that flows with milk and honey. But watch this. God could have given the land to Abraham. Oh, I don't know if you just heard that. God could have given the land to who? To Isaac.
All right.
God could have given the land to who? To Jacob. Why do we have to go through 40 years of wandering? Why are you traveling in circles?
Why are we not just going from Elam straight to the promised land? If it's mine, why do we have to send 12 spies out and spy it out? Why do I need to know that it flows with milk and honey? If you say it flows with milk and honey, I believe you. Why I got to send 12 people to figure out whether or not you trust God or not? Why do I got to go in places where I'm thirsty and I'm hungry? Why do I have to see that the enemy is bigger than me? Because it's not about the promised land. Right. It's not about the destination. Right. It is about the what? It's about the journey. God is the object. Now watch this. Here's the principle that I'm going to leave you with. When we learn to focus on the will more than the where. Oh, I'm going to say it again. See, we want the where. I want to live in this house. I want to live in this neighborhood. I want to drive this kind of car. I want the where. God is not concerned about the where. God is concerned about the will. And I'm telling you that the will lead you to his where. Story is told about three Hebrew boys. Y'all know this story. They were minding their own business. They loved God and their country was besieged. And they were taken to a land that was not their own. And at some point the king said, look, I erected this statue. It is a decree that everybody bow down to me. When you hear the harp and the cymbals and all of these musical instruments, you bow down to me. I want you to see what these boys say. Daniel 3 and verse 16. I got 2 minutes. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego answered and said to the king, O Nebuchadnezzar, we are not careful. The king had just said, if you don't bow down, you know where you're going? You're going into the fiery furnace. Brother Gibbs, how do you know that they were more concerned about the will than the where? Because they did not have to go into the fiery furnace. Y'all, I mean, do you see that? They could have avoided the where. Amen. All they had to do was bow down. We do it every day. Boss say, you got to work this Sunday? What do? We work Sunday. Why? Why? Because we bow down every day. They didn't have to go into the furnace. God's will sent them to the furnace. The will was greater than the what? Than the where. Amen. How do you know that, Brother Gibbs? Because they told the king, they looked him square in the face, and they said, we are not careful. We ain't worried about where you can send us. Put me in the furnace. I'm following the will, and the will is sending me, obviously, to or into a fiery furnace. When you wake up in the morning, where will God's will send you? How will God show up and show out for you today? Here's what I know. A lot of us do not have the testimony of how God brought us over because we do not stay in the will. We ain't gonna go in the fire. Why would I do that? Watch what else he says, verse 17. He said, if it be so, the God whom we serve is able to deliver us. And how he will. Oh, have you ever been in a problem where you say God is able? And not only is he able, God will deliver me. But if he doesn't, oh, that is a prayer that you got to pray every day. When God is moving you in his will, that's a prayer that you pray every day. My God is what? He is able. He will. But if he does not, I'm still not bowing down. And here's what you have to understand is that in the will of God, God is with you. Nebuchadnezzar looked in there and he said, we threw in three. Now there is four. When they pulled them out, their hair was not even singed. They didn't even smell like smoke. And watch what happens. God gets the glory. Nebuchadnezzar said what? He said, look, if anybody says anything bad about the God of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, I'm going to cut him into pieces. Now, that's what the king said. Now, the king never would have said that if they hadn't gone where the will led them. Amen, amen, amen. And then guess what? They got promoted to governor. See, you want to be CEO, but you want to do it based on your timetable, based on your will. See, when God leads you, he ain't going to lead you straight to CEO. He's going to lead you in a way by which he gets the glory. When people see you, they say it couldn't have been anybody but God who did that. I'm telling you, see, and that's my lesson. That young man that was in trial, the younger brother, he was in God's will. See, you don't ask to hug the murderer of your brother. You don't do that. See, everybody was shouting, no justice, no peace. Everybody was telling her where she could go to jail. He was not concerned about the where. When he was on the stand, he was being moved by God. Amen. He said, I didn't even prepare this speech. He said, I didn't tell my family I was going to say this. He was moved by God. He said, I don't want you to go to jail. I don't want you to go to jail. I love you like I love anybody else. The Spirit of God knew that the world needed to see some unity. Amen. Can I hug her? No, Judge, can I hug her? That does not happen in court. That was a security risk. But guess what? God got the glory. I'm telling you, the lesson is yours. But if we want God to bless us, we got to move not according to how we think and how we feel. We got to learn to move according to God's will. I may never come back to Greenville Avenue again. And that's all right. Wherever I am, it's going to be in his will. Wherever you are in life, as long as God is with you, it don't matter where, you just want to be. You've heard the word. Believe it with all of your heart. Repent of your sins. Confess Christ to be the Son of the living God. Be willing to go down with him in the watery grave of baptism. That puts you into Christ. God's will is that all men come to repentance. That all men come to Jesus Christ. The only way by which we must be saved. If you've been living according to your own time schedule, according to your own this and that, get in Jesus and let him move you. What you'll find is that the destination, over time becomes less important than the will. You don't even care about the where you were going. The Bible says Enoch walked with God. In other words, he enjoyed God. Why? Because God shows up and shows out, no matter where. Just let me be with God. Come to Jesus as together we stand and sing. Will you come?
9:20. Just as I am.